You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the second hour of the program, 0457-736-736. That's our text line, and 1300-01-1170 is our open line. Thanks for joining us on SENQ 693 in Brisbane this morning. Benny Davis with the day off, and thanks for coming on back on 1170 AM here in Sydney as well, and wherever you tuned in via the app. Adam Zampa is going to join me very soon. Tickets are on sale as of today for the International Summer of Cricket. Five Australian men's tests to take place in the holiday period. So we've got test series against Pakistan and the West Indies, one day international series against the Windies and T20s as well. And of course, our world champion women's team will play across seven Australian cities, including the first ever women's test match between Australia and South Africa, that one at the WACA in February. So Adam Zampa will join us in just a few moments' time. Now, the news that came our way just before our SEN news here, that the Manly Warringah Seagulls have just confirmed that they've been given clearance from the NRL to play Tom Trbojevic against the Dolphins at Four Pines Park Friday night. The statement from the Eagles is in my hand. It says they've undertaken a lengthy process both internally and externally into Tom's health after he was taken from the field in Origin 1. Manly CEO Tony Mestroff said at all times the club's first priority has been on Tom's welfare. He said our chief club medical officer, Dr. Paul Bloomfield, agreed that Tom had to be removed from the field, but at no point was he diagnosed with concussion. Furthermore, Tom does not have a history of concussion issues. Throughout the process, Tom has not been diagnosed with concussion from either New South Wales Dr. Nathan Gibbs, Dr. Bloomfield, or independent doctor, Dr. Chris Levi. Tom will line up for the Seagulls on Friday night. So there you go. Tommy Turbo has been cleared to play. No dramas there when it comes to the concussion. So there was obviously some mixed messages out of Origin number one when he was taken from the field for that HIA. And at the time, we thought deemed with a Category 1, which was going to enforce an 11-day stand down. 1300 01 1170. We're doing the Tuesday tackle this morning. If you've just joined us, we've had some robust debate. I've got a whole stack of text messages, which I'll get to over the course of this hour in particular. The Tuesday tackle is centered around the weekly NRL briefing from Graham Annesley, the NRL's head of football. Now, if you missed our first hour, I'm just going to recap for you. Ultimate respect for Graham. No problems at all. And the job that he does. And I give them credit. And I give him credit for the way that he handles this week in and week out. But again, yesterday we had some absolute clangers that were admitted to, which is fine. The admission's no problems. But what difference does it all make? So we're tackling this on our Tuesday tackle this morning. I'm tackling it out of the game. If you're in the defensive line, tell me why. If you want to attack it from the other end and keep it in the game, tell me why. Are you with me? Do you want it to stay or go? Dustin from the Central Coast, you can kick off this hour on the open line. Good morning.
How we going, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. Good.
Mate, I'm all for it to stay. I just think there's a room for it, but in terms of how it's positioned, it's got to be more around what the refs have seen, given it's a live match. They're looking around, obviously. And just what kind of comes, what they're seeing, rather than what we've got wrong. Because obviously, if they're going what goes wrong, fans of the teams is like, well, that's cost me 2 points or it's cost a try. But if you can get into the head of the ref to actually understand what they've seen at that point, I think that's more of a way that I want to kind of understand what's happened on the weekend.
Yeah, so back to that explanation role again, that a couple of our listeners have spoken about it. And look, I agree with you on that part, on the other part. You know, what does, sorry's great. Sorry's a lovely word and it's good to admit your errors or, you know, that's what we teach our kids, mate. But I don't see what use it does in professional sport. Do you reckon, however, And you're saying there about, you know, getting the thoughts of the referee. I mean, we hear the refs. We've got microphones there. We hear the bunkers' thought process. We don't see all of it because they, you know, they have a whole stack of other angles that they can all look at. So we don't hear all of it. But we're definitely hearing and seeing more than what we've heard in past years. So do you think you're still not getting enough information from the referee during the live matches?
I think that the case here is I'm a Panthers fan. I saw that the ball went forward that the ref called, which was obviously the right decision he's made, but the linos kind of said, well, it didn't, went back. So I guess that understanding there, like we didn't really hear that exchange there. It'd be good to understand, well, the refs made the right decision there, and we give them crap all the time about not making the right decision, but then it's come from someone else. So what was the exchange there? What did the kind of linos see? And I guess that comes where the accountability kind of is.
Yeah. Good on you, mate. Thank you for your call this morning. Thanks for listening in as well. Hope it's nice up there on the Central Coast. It's funny, Mr. Quintessential has texted in, and look, you've hit it. You've hit it straight on the head here, Mr. Quintessential. Don't you just love rugby league? When we didn't have the debrief, we all wanted transparency. Now we've got it, we don't want it. Well, hang on. I'll say this. I'm okay if they get rid of it. I'm saying why waste the time? But not everybody is on that side. So not everybody, Mr. Quintessential, is saying get rid of it. And as you just heard there, Dustin says let's keep it. Right, some texts. Let's do some texts while we wait for Adam Zampa to join us this morning. Graham Annesley says the Lower Mountains Tigers should be rolled out every week. Well, he is. The Tigers got ripped off after the bell last year against the Cows, and how often do you see the Tigers come back from 18-0 down only to be dudded again? Hope no other NRL side cops it. So, yeah, keep trotting the NRL's head of football out. Thank you for that one on the text line. Let me move on through because, boy, are there plenty. Just on the Shane Flanagan issue, the Menai Dragon says Shane Flanagan's very impressive with what he did at the Sharks with a rebuild and running the footy team and pathways. Shane now must be selected by the Dragons as the next head coach. He took the Sharks from last to first, had lost a major sponsor at the time. Exactly where the Dragons are at now. It's a no-brainer. Dragons board, get Shane Flanagan. Regards the Menai Dragon. Well, he's certainly in the picture. Now, if you haven't seen it this morning, we'll discuss it tomorrow on Wednesdays with Webby because Andrew Webster has reached out to Michael Checker. And the headline in Webby's article this morning is Why Checker Could Be Left Field Choice to Resurrect the Red V. And he's spoken to Michael Checker from Buenos Aires. He's in camp with the Argentinian national rugby team. And he said he was willing to speak to NRL clubs, including the Dragons. This is really interesting. Michael Checker said it's not an ambition, but it would be a brilliant opportunity. If a rugby league team thought I was the right person to get what they want, then I'd definitely be open to talking to them. It's no secret. I have an interest in league and coached the game before. It's really appealing. But if it happens, if it's to happen, the stars would need to align. So his contract with Argentina ends at the end of the World Cup, at the end of their World Cup. He's then contracted to coach or remains contracted to coach Lebanon's National Rugby League side until 2025. So he can work our way through those ones, no problems. After he resigned as Wallabies coach in 2019, remember he became an assistant to Trent Robinson at the Roosters. And as Webby says this morning, nevertheless, it would be a leap of faith for any NRL club to sign him, particularly one as cautious and conservative as the Dragons. And he said, while some coaches run a mile from challenging situations, Checker relishes them. This is Michael Checker's quotes this morning. He said, I've been in those situations because that's who I am as a person. That's the environment in which I thrive. One thing about turnarounds is that you can't disassociate what's happened before you. You have to own it. The fans have lived it. They don't just get a fresh start because you've started. Michael Checker, not a bad left field choice to resurrect the Red V as proposed by Andrew Webster this morning in the Sydney Morning Herald. As I've told you, tickets go on sale today for the International Summer of Cricket. Cannot wait for it. cricket.com.au/tickets is where you need to go. Adam Zampa is on the line. Looking forward to this chat. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, mate. How are you, mate?
Good, thank you. Very good. Looking forward to everything that's coming our way, starting tomorrow, then rolling into the Ashes, and then we get to the international summer of cricket. Meanwhile, you're finally getting your feet up after the IPL. What are you up to at the moment?
Yeah, mate, exactly that. I've been looking forward to this for a little while. It was a long summer into IPL. Doesn't give you much of a break. So, yeah, just at home now on the farm, feed up, beautiful time of year here. So, yeah, a bit of family time, mate.
Yeah, nice. It's getting nice and cool right at the moment. In fact, now's the right time on the farm, Adam, to do all the work. But given your schedule, you want to put your feet up. How taxing is the IPL itself? I mean, it's a very different beast, isn't it? So when you get back and you take a breath and you take a pause, what's it actually like when you think of how taxing it is to play that tournament?
Yeah, I guess you only really understand it if you've done it, you know, and blokes keep putting themselves through it too, time after time. But yeah, it's difficult. I mean, you throw in the mental and the physical drain that you put on yourself just from the actual games. You add in the travel. You add in, you know, the different culture and the different, I guess, diets and things that you have to get used to. Yeah, and it's a long competition too. It's probably the longest T20 competition in the world. So yeah, it's draining, that's for sure. It is a different beast. You're right. And once you're home and you reflect on it, you're definitely probably more exhausted than you know. if I'm honest.
Which leads me to my next question, mate. With everything that it starts tomorrow night. So how much do you then sit back in your lounge room and watch what's occurring, or do you listen in? How good a watcher are you of the Australian side? You'd love to be there, obviously, for the World Test Championship final and the Ashes, but you're going to be watching. So talk me through your process.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't even know what time the day's play starts. Probably going to be too late for me, mate.
Half past seven tomorrow night.
There you go. I'll be watching half an hour of it, and then I'm in bed. But yeah, I haven't really kept my eye on this World Test Championship. I had no idea it started tomorrow, to be honest. But I'm looking forward to the Ashes. I think that's going to be really epic battle this year. I think the way that England have played Test cricket in the last 12 months and the way that we've been playing, obviously earning that right to play the World Test Championship, is probably two of the best teams in the world. And yeah, I've really enjoyed watching England play in the last year or so as well. So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah. What about you and your Red Bull cricket future? Where's that at the moment?
Yeah, it's a good question. I haven't really put my mind to that in the last couple of months. Obviously, I made it pretty well known that I was disappointed not to be in the Indian tour. On reflection, after watching a bit of that series too, is probably, and you know going into these things that they're probably more fingerspin friendly, not much wrist spin, plays a lot of test cricket these days, to be honest. So yeah, I mean I don't know. We don't really have a subcontinent tour for a good couple of years, and we've got two World Cups before that, so I guess I'm probably just concentrating on that at the moment. I played a couple of Shield games last year as well, which I enjoyed, but as I said, the white ball stuff's probably in front of mind at the moment.
Yeah. As we look ahead to the international summer of cricket and tickets on sale now, so I can imagine they get snapped up. We've got all five Australian men's tests to take place in the holiday period. So we've got the tests against Pakistan and then West Indies, and of course the ODI series against the Windies and the T20s as well. So we've got a massive summer coming up. What are you looking forward to the most of the Australian summer? It's further down the track, but it'll creep up on us pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting period, I think, particularly after the one-day World Cup happening this year as well. I think, you know, a lot of the eyes will be, again, put towards the next World Cup, which is middle of the year next year. So those, you know, this summer's going to be important, obviously. There might be, you know, a couple of guys who have maybe, you know, been passed through that T20 team. You know, a couple of guys might retire. Who knows how a team's going to look. So, yeah, it might be a good opportunity for potentially a new group or a new couple of players to come in and put their hand up for that World Cup later on in 2024.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard Davey Warner being interviewed over there in London, and he said, look, you know, I'm ready to go. He obviously wants to make runs starting at the Oval, then parlay that into the Ashes, mate, and then he wants to be here to possibly farewell Test cricket at the SCG on January, which would just be outstanding. But I guess what would light your bells is the fact that he's fully focused on white ball cricket as well. He knows that his time in red ball is coming to an end, but he's fully focused for the next few years at least in white ball.
Yeah, and you know, he's one of the big reasons why we won that World Cup a couple of years ago. And yeah, still getting the job done in franchise cricket around the world. Obviously, he had a pretty good IPL. And yeah, he's one of those guys that you kind of want to be running onto the park with, to be honest. So yeah, it's exciting to hear. You know, hopefully he gets his way. I'd like to you know, see him get that fairy tale ending that he's hoping for, and yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah, it doesn't always work out that way, does it? But if there's one thing that'll get him that fairy tale finish, it's runs. And if there's one thing that we know that David Warner can do is score runs. So I'm with you, mate. I hope he gets there too, and he gets to farewell the Test arena the way that he wants to. Mate, it sounds as though you've got your feet up nice and relaxed. Enjoy the relaxation time. Appreciate your time this morning, and have a good rest. Look forward to seeing you back in action soon.
Yeah, no worries, mate. Thanks, Matt.
Adam Zampa joining us there. cricket.com.au/tickets. So the International Summer of Cricket tickets are on sale right now. 79 one-day international games for Australia, 72 T20 internationals for Australia, and, of course, the World Championship in 2021 as well. So sounds pretty chilled, doesn't he? Men's Test Series v Pakistan. So the Test being played at Perth, then into Melbourne, obviously, on Boxing Day, and the January Test here at the SCG could well be David Warner's last Test for Australia. The Test Series against the West Indies, middle of January at the Adelaide Oval, into the day-night match at the Gabba, starting, well, around the Australia Day period. And then the ODI Series against the West Indies at the MCG, SCG and Manuka Oval, and the T20 International Series against the Windies in Hobart, Adelaide and Perth. It is quite a schedule. Our thanks to Adam Zampa. We are back after this. It's 20 past 10.